And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also, of course, listen online anytime by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from The Law Group coming up a little bit later on in the show this morning. Well, Friday, right as we got off the air Friday mornings, there was a pretty big story breaking out of Washington or near Washington, D.C., as agents for the FBI raided the D.C. area home of President Donald Trump's former national security advisor in John Bolton. This is in an ongoing, apparent, high-profile national security probe. Federal agents went to Bolton's home in Bethesda, Maryland, around 7 o'clock Friday morning in an investigation ordered by FBI Director Kash Patel. And Patel, really not mincing any words on social media on Friday, writing this, a very clear, not very lengthy statement saying, quote, "No one is above the law, FBI agents on a mission." This was also followed up with some commentary from FBI Director Dan Bongino, who wrote, "Public corruption will not be tolerated." And when you look at the statement from Bongino, you look at the statement from FBI Director Kash Patel, I don't have any objections to that. Do you? Do you believe that people are above the law? I do not. The Democrats claim that no one is above the law, right? That's like one of their big time rallying cries. They run around and have their protests all throughout the United States, hooting and hollering, chanting and screaming about how nobody's above the law. Even, you know, former presidents, in the case of President Donald Trump, he is not above the law. Nobody is above the law. And so as I look at the statement from Patel and I look at the commentary from Dan Bongino, that, no objection here, right? No one's above the law. Everybody, regardless of their situation, their status, their political connections, regardless of what office they have held or might currently hold, they are not above the law. And I am in full agreement with Dan Bongino that public corruption should not be tolerated. I am in full agreement with all of that. Yet, for some reason, surprise, surprise, those on the political left seemingly are now changing their tune, right? When it's politically expedient for them to claim that no one is above the law, they will do so. When they are weaponizing the federal government, weaponizing the Department of Justice, the FBI, and all of the other ancillary three-letter agencies against their political opponents, they claim that no one is above the law. And they want, and they claim that because no one is above the law, these actions are necessary to protect, say it with me, folks, the democracy. Right, the big talking point on the left. Anything and everything is to protect the democracy. I will remind you once again, we are not a true democracy. We are a democratic republic, but that's just, you know, passing commentary there. So when it is politically expedient to do so, protecting the democracy and no one is above the law are two incredibly important phrases for the political left. However, when the situation gets turned over and it is their folks that are under fire, when it is individuals like John Bolton, who is under criticism, who is being raided by the FBI, it is therefore an attack on our democracy. So when it's against Republicans, it's to protect the democracy. When it's against Democrats, it is an affront, an attack, an assault on the democracy. And I struggle to realize how those two things can exist at the same time. And this is, of course, a common problem that those on the political left deal with, because their arguments are genuinely, and for the most part, pretty inconsistent. And this is yet another example of the inconsistent nature. You can't claim that when you are weaponizing the federal government, and let's just claim when the government is going after individuals that are your political opponents, you can't claim it's good and then be upset and pissed off and yelling and screaming at the sky when the same thing happens to your guys. And that's exactly what Democrats are doing. The reason John Bolton's house was raided by the FBI on Friday is there was an ongoing probe which is said to involve classified documents. Now, this was launched years ago. However, the Biden administration shut it down for, quote, political reasons, according to senior U.S. officials, which wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. I played a John Bolton clip on the show a couple of weeks ago with him making comments. He was on, I think it was on ABC's This Week, their Sunday news program. And he was asked, you know, do you give Donald Trump credit for any of his successes as it relates to foreign policy, right? The president has been successful in brokering some peace deals, some negotiation between hostile entities that have been in conflict. And the president has, you've heard him say it multiple times, I've stopped six wars. I don't know if I'd go to the extent of six wars, but he has inserted himself and put some pauses and some breaks and gotten some concessions in place for a variety of conflicts that have been happening across the world. And John Bolton was asked the very simple question about that, right? Do you give President Donald Trump credit for having those successes? Do you give him any sort of praise or props for that? And the answer that John Bolton gave was very clear. He said that the answer was no, that the president did not deserve credit for any of those things, that it was a variety of other factors and issues that led to those conflicts being stopped, that these conflicts would have stopped anyway, or they really weren't as severe as were made out to be beforehand. So no, he refused to give President Trump credit, which is fine. He doesn't have to give Trump credit. But the reason that that's an important part of the story is because the investigation was shut down on John Bolton under the Biden administration, and sources inside the federal government say that it was done for political purposes. John Bolton, who was Trump's former national security advisor, has been an incredible tool for the left to use. He has been a huge individual that they have been able to call on, point to, interview, talk with, to discredit anything that the Trump administration is doing. And of course, when they talk to John Bolton, they add in, well, Trump's former national security advisor, as it is some additional dig against the president. It is a individual who has defected from the first administration and is now using his ability as the former national security advisor to sell books, to go on CNN and ABC and all the rest of these various news outlets and talk about how terrible and how awful everything that Donald Trump does is. And so for the left, he is a very, very important tool to have in their toolbox. He's not just some random guy off the street. He was in the trenches of the first Trump administration. And the fact that he was in that position gives him, at least for those on the political left, especially those in the mainstream media, he is a very useful asset to them. And I'll bring you back a couple of years. Here was John Bolton on MSNBC at the time when President Donald Trump's house was raided. Mar-a-Lago was raided by the FBI. So let's see what John Bolton had to say back when this situation unfolded a couple of years ago.
Any given moment. But I don't think he cared about the classification system. I don't think he appreciated the sensitivity of this information, and he didn't appreciate the sensitivity of how it was often acquired, the so-called sources and methods. So this had been briefed to him before I arrived. It was repeated frequently. I think it simply had no impact on him whatever.
There's a couple of different ways that people think about this, and people who are not friendly to the president who think about what's happened here. And one of them is, you know, Donald Trump, master thief, you know, criminal, running some kind of elaborate conspiracy to bring things out of the White House and keep them secret for potentially for political or financial gain. There are other people who add it to attitude is Trump is chaotic. He's careless. He's not that smart. He took these things almost by mistake, and now he's basically stamping his feet and saying they're mine. I don't want to give them up. Give me a sense of where you think the truth lies with respect to Trump's intelligence, carelessness, and the degree to which he might have brought motive to bear on taking these documents out of the White House and keeping them for this long at Mar-a-Lago.
Well, it's very hard to speculate on motive other than that he liked cool things. He saw things that he wanted to take them, and he was pretty much able to take them and not just on classified information matters, on all kinds of things that crossed his desk. Some days he liked to eat a lot of French fries. Some days he took classified documents. He wanted them. Why did he want them? Because he could get them.
Wow, great insight there from John Bolton and MSNBC at the time. Hard-hitting reporting there. Trump is crazy and just is stealing documents, so on and so forth. Yep, so you heard directly from John Bolton. No one is above the law. Again, a useful talking point for those on the political left. And I agree that no one is above the law. So why was John Bolton's house raided by the FBI? Well, according to an article over at the New York Post, it reads as follows. Former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton should face criminal charges over his alleged emailing of highly sensitive classified materials through a private server, high-ranking FBI officials told the New York Post on Saturday, as they questioned why the Biden administration shelved the case in the first place. Federal agents raided Bolton's Maryland home and D.C. office Friday morning in search of evidence in their case investigating the Trump critics' alleged theft of highly sensitive national security documents. The alleged crimes were first identified in 2020 through a very specific intelligence capacity that helped produce damning intelligence that Bolton had transferred classified documents to his wife and daughter from his White House desk before Trump fired him in September of 2019, the senior sources within the FBI told the New York Post. Investigators opened the case entirely separate from a different investigation into Bolton's alleged inclusion of national security secrets in his book, the 2020 book, The Room Where It Happened. At the time, which carried into the Biden administration, but was shelved by Joe Biden and his Department of Justice. So now the Trump Department of Justice is questioning if Biden's FBI's decision to not further pursue the case against one of Trump's most staunch critics was politically motivated. A senior FBI official told the New York Post on Saturday, this is a direct quote, the Biden administration had probable cause to know that he had taken material that was detrimental to the national security of the United States, and they made no effort to retrieve it. No effort to retrieve it. That is from a senior FBI official. Bolton is one of the most prominent ex-Trump officials, regularly criticizing his former boss in media appearances, leading some to believe that it would have been politically advantageous to allow Bolton to go unscathed. And I think that's exactly the case. I think this reporting and this thought from the New York Post is exactly right. The Joe Biden administration, seeing the commentary from John Bolton, seeing the things that he was saying publicly on MSNBC, on CNN, on ABC and CBS and NBC, that you can continue to rattle off the list of all of these individual places where this was going on. Why would they want to put John Bolton in hot water? Why would they want this situation to be unfolding? I mean, for a period of time, the mustachio man that he is was one of the Democrats' greatest tools against former President Donald Trump. And so there's no advantage for them to pursue, and there obviously was none, for them to pursue John Bolton on potentially taking and emailing classified documents to his alleged report, his wife and daughter. The official also told the New York Post, quote, that was a friendly administration to Bolton. They kept bashing Trump the entire time for weaponization of law enforcement, and they, by politically stopped a righteous investigation, are the ones who weaponized law enforcement, the official said. The case, described as airtight by some investigators, was so buried that the FBI director, Kash Patel, did not find out about it until a month after his February confirmation, when he asked agents for a briefing on the sensitive case. Among those addressed was the Bolton case, which the director originally thought had to do with his prior closed investigation into Bolton's book. But investigators encouraged Kash Patel to look closer, explaining that it was an entirely new case that they were stopped from pursuing over the last 4 years by the Biden administration. The raid on Friday was launched to further investigate or to further find evidence of the alleged crime. Federal agents found, quote, a lot of potential evidence at Bolton's home, as well as a, quote, bunch from his D.C. office. Federal investigators are confident that their case against Bolton, but the Justice Department did not intend to go after his wife and daughter, according to the sources. So that's reading the exclusive reporting there from the New York Post, who had somebody at the FBI talking to them on Saturday. That's when they ran this story, covering some of the nitty-gritty details of this story. And so the headline and the title of today's show, which you're seeing if you're watching it live, or maybe you're listening after the fact on your favorite podcast app, the question of the morning is this retaliation? Is this political retribution for what has gone on over the last couple of years? And it's an interesting, what I'll call, academic exercise to play out. And I've been walking through this and reading on this and getting my thoughts together since Friday when this first happened. And my gut reaction to this story, again, with the details that we have from the New York Post, from high up sources within the FBI, this to me would not fit the bill, would not fit the definition of anything of the sort of political retaliation or political retribution. If what we're being told is true, and I believe that it is, now if it turns out not to be the case, then yes, it would fall into that category. But if what we're being told by sources within the FBI, the post from Kash Patel on X, the post on X from Dan Bongino, they're not making those posts and sending FBI agents to John Bolton's house and office when they've got no evidence of anything. They obviously believe, and they've obviously already got evidence indicating that there are some pretty nefarious activities ongoing here, alleging that Bolton was used his position as the national security chief to send classified documents, secured documents, outside the purview of the federal government. And that would totally track and add up with John Bolton. I mean, he did the same thing in his book. There was an FBI investigation into alleged national security secrets in his book. And when you look at the motive of John Bolton, it sure as hell adds up, doesn't it? This guy is one of the most adamant anti-Trump individuals that you will find. He doesn't have a single positive word to say about his former boss. And he is willingly using his former position as the national security advisor to go on national television, to go on CNN, to go on MSNBC and the rest, and talk about how awful and terrible everything that Donald Trump does is. And so the question would be, is this above John Bolton? Is this something that you would be shocked to find out that he did? And the answer, at least from everything that I know about John Bolton and everything that I've heard out of his mouth over the last 4 or 5 years, to me, this completely adds up. And so is this retaliation? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And I'm going to make a point that I've continually made and I think is an important one for everybody on the right to understand. The Democrats, over the last couple of years, have used their positions of power in government, predominantly at the federal level, to use assets like the FBI, like the Department of Justice, and others, to go after their political opponents, to go after their political adversaries. And that, of course, would be Republicans. That would be conservatives. That would be those on the right side of the political aisle. They have not been secret about it. They have not been coy about it. They have done it publicly in front of everybody for everything to be seen publicly. And they have cheered it on. They have turned it into a major spectacle. the raid of Mar-a-Lago was nothing more than the Biden Department of Justice flexing its muscles, not only against Donald Trump, but to every single Republican and conservative in the United States. Plain and simple. There was no reason that Mar-a-Lago needed to be raided at 6 o'clock in the morning by the FBI. Absolutely no reason at all. But they did. And it was purposefully turned into a spectacle. Media outlets got a wink, wink, a nod, nod that this was going on beforehand. CNN camera crews were standing by waiting for this to happen. It was an orchestrated attempt at political weaponization of the Department of Justice. Not only did it happen, but it was applauded by those on the political left. It was seen as a just action against the orange man that they hate so much. Orange man bad, of course, right? Donald Trump. Anything that he does is orange man bad. And so if the Democrats want to claim that political polarization is bad, if they want to claim that weaponizing the federal government against your political adversaries is bad, well, they need to practice what they preach. And folks, the fact of the matter is, they don't. The left is all for weaponizing the government against their adversaries when it is politically expedient. When it is something that they can cheer for, when it is something that they can use as a talking point, when it is something that is beneficial to them, they will do it. And they will change the rules to do so. And you've heard me say before, Democrats want to change the rules of the game. It's time for them to play exactly by them. And that's exactly what you're seeing. And I'm glad that you're seeing it. I am past the point of taking the so-called high road and allowing the Democrats to do whatever they damn well please without any repercussions and without any consequences. And so when you look at this raid of John Bolton's home over what the FBI believes is a concrete case against John Bolton, this should be a wake-up call to those on the political left that if this is the game you want to play, then we're going to play it. On Fox News on Friday night, Greg Gutfeld, I think, nailed this down perfectly. In a minute and a half, he completely summarizes all of my thoughts. I caught this clip yesterday afternoon, and it completely summarized all of my thoughts on this situation. Here was Gutfeld on Friday. I haven't heard anybody describe this better than him.
Some people say it's retribution. I say, who cares? You know, don't lecture me on timing of lawfare. Don't lecture me on politically motivated, you know, investigations. You guys invented this stuff. You loved doing it to Trump because you didn't think it through. You were so confident that Trump was toast, that you could rattle off free punch after free punch after free punch without any fear of reprisal. So, yeah. Is it retribution? I don't know. But when you think about the constant lawfare, the gerrymandering, the Dems never expect it to happen to them. They're like home invaders who didn't expect a well-armed occupant when they showed up. And Trump is well-armed. This is kind of an ongoing masterclass for the Republican Party, the new Republican Party, to quote Greasy Gav, how to fight fire with fire. The conservative movement, which I loved for the longest time, they were kind of happy to fritter away their influence and power on the notion that they were always above returning fire. Oh, I write for National Review. This is disgusting. Let's write a 4,000-word piece on judicial reform. And then they don't do anything. They go back and smoke their cigar. They always felt it was beneath them to get in the ring and hit back. So it's one of the presents that Trump gave the Republicans that they desperately needed were balls the size of Jupiter.
And I think he's spot on about that. Balls the size of Jupiter. And the point that Greg Gutfeld makes there at the end is one that should not be underscored. For the longest time, those on the right, conservatives, have had to sit back and take it. We have. The left changes the rules of the game constantly, consistently shifting the rules. And we take this moral high ground, this moral high road of, we don't believe that that's right, and we'll make them stop by being more moral, and we'll make them stop by taking the proverbial high road in this situation. folks, the fact of the matter is it doesn't work. The Democrats will go to whatever ends possible to destroy the lives of their political opponents. And there is never any consequences for their actions. Unfortunately, for them, fortunately for us, they assumed that Donald Trump would never be in power again. They assumed unjustly and made a really bad bet that they had completely politically ruined Donald Trump. And that there was no chance that this guy would ever be back in a position of power. So they threw all of it out at Trump. They tried to prosecute him in New York, once again, changing the statute of limitation just to prosecute the former president, once again, changing the rules of the game to benefit the means. They raided his house in Mar-a-Lago, claiming that he stole a whole bunch of classified documents. They're going after him in places like Georgia, claiming that he's interfering with elections. They threw all of it at Donald Trump. Why? It was a last-ditch effort to make sure that he would never get into office again. And typically, and as you can see as it played out, for the left, it didn't work. Their attempts to politically ruin Trump, their attempts to make him so-called unelectable in the future, completely blew up in their face. They ran a terrible candidate in Kamala Harris, coming off of a disastrous 4 years of dementia-ridden Joe Biden in the Oval Office, and they got their asses handed to them in November of last year. And you can guarantee that Donald Trump has not forgotten about the lawfare. He has not forgotten about the hell that they put him through. And so is he out for retaliation? I don't think it's retaliation at all. I think it's playing the game by the rules that the other side is setting out. That's, to me, not retaliation. If the rules of the game have changed, then we also play by the same rules. And that's why I'm of the mindset that it's not retribution and it's not retaliation. These are the rules of the game. You guys want these rules, correct? For those on the left, these are the rules that you are co-signing. These are the rules that you are cheering for the game to be played. So how can it be retaliation when the other team plays by the same rules? Now, if the other team changes the rules once again, then I might argue, yes, that is retaliation. Yes, that is retribution. But the rules have not changed. They are exactly how you set them out. It is okay for the federal government to be used against your political opposition. And so if you don't like that, then maybe it's time to take a step back. If you don't believe that that is right and just, then maybe you need to change your tune. And so as we watch this unfold, one of the big things I take away from this, why did John Bolton's house get raided by the FBI on Friday? Well, first of all, it appears that he stole classified documents. He's not the president of the United States who has the authority to declassify. He is the national security advisor, and he sent those documents apparently to his wife and daughter. And the FBI thinks they've got concrete evidence of that taking place. So they're doing their job, unlike the Biden administration, who let the case lapse. The Biden administration, who didn't want to get their guy in John Bolton in hot water. Why? Because he was on TV bashing Trump 24/7. So why would they want this guy to be in any sort of political hot water? Why would they want to actively investigate somebody that is politically beneficial to them? And so what I say to those on the left this morning is what you saw with John Bolton is the only way to prevent Democrats from targeting the rest of us with this kind of nonsense and to guarantee that there is some sort of cost associated with these actions. This is not revenge. This is not payback. This is not retaliation. This is not retribution. The only reason you see it that way, the only reason that you're using those words is because you don't like what's happening. You don't like that John Bolton is being held to the same standard that you want to hold Republicans to. To me, I don't know how you can concoct that into retaliation or revenge. How is John Bolton's house being raided the end of democracy when Trump's house being raided was protecting the democracy? Folks, it doesn't add up. It doesn't pass the smell test. It makes absolutely no sense. And so if the left wants this to end, then they need to change the rules of the game back. I am in full agreement with the commentary from Greg Gutfeld that the days of smoking the cigar and talking about judicial reform and taking the high road, folks, I'm fed up with it. It's been too long of us sitting on the sidelines, getting punched in the face, knocked out by those on the Democrats. And when we have the opportunity to throw a fair punch, we say, no, we're going to take the moral high road. We're going to be the moral. We're going to be the adults in the room. And so where does that get you? Every single time the Democrats are back in power, they will ratchet up the pressure. If they are able to seize power in 2028, you can guarantee that they will continue their operation. You can guarantee it. They will do exactly what they're doing right now. Unless they wake up and come to the realization that when they're not in power, the same thing is going to happen to them. And I understand that this can lead to some level of mutual destruction. I am not oblivious to that fact. I'm not completely admonishing that that is a real potential risk. But what's the alternative? We know that the Democrats will continue to change the rules of the game because they feel that there's no consequences. And that's exactly what you're seeing. They will weaponize the DOJ. They will use the FBI. They will use their other three-letter agencies when they're in power to not only go after a former president, but you and I. And if they can do that unchecked, if they can do that and not risk any consequences at any point in time, what is going to stop them? I mean, seriously, you think one day the Democrats are going to wake up and say, maybe it's not a good idea to go after Republicans. You're high. You're drunk if you think that one day the Democrats are going to wake up and realize that this is not a good thing for them long term. I mean, you're completely delusional to believe that that is going to happen. It's not. Never. Because there is no benefit for those on the political left to ever wake up and realize that what they're doing is morally bankrupt. Now, if Republicans play by the same rules, well, then maybe they'll second guess what they're doing. Maybe they will be of the opinion, be of the mindset that it's not good for the so-called democracy that we hear so much about, right? Constantly gnashing of the teeth over democracy this, democracy that. Maybe it's not good for the so-called democracy to use the Department of Justice to weaponize the federal government against your opponents. That's just my thought. That's my stance on it. And I've seen no evidence that those on the political left are ever willing to step back on this. That those on the political left are ever willing to turn down the heat, turn down the pressure. Every single time it goes further and further and further and further. And without any sort of consequences, without any sort of risk that the gun may spin in the other direction when you're not in power, it runs amok. And that's exactly what you've seen. President Donald Trump went through hell at the hands of those on the left to so-called protect and uphold and to save the so-called democracy. They weaponized lawfare, changed the statute of limitations in the state of New York to prosecute him. Changed the statute of limit, literally changed the law so they could prosecute President Donald Trump. And I'm supposed to believe that that is protecting democracy? That is saving the United States of America? That is protecting the free world? Give me a freaking break. Those on the left have no concept of consequences for their actions. And it's not just in this, in what we're talking about this morning with weaponization of the federal government. It's all across the board. They act a fool. They run ridiculously terrible and awful candidates. They do the stupidest things that you can imagine. and they never have any sort of realization as to what they're doing. They never are willing to take responsibility for their actions. There's never any consequences for what they do. I mean, outside of elections, I mean, the consequence of Democrats running a terrible candidate in Kamala Harris was them getting blown out by Donald Trump in November. So I guess that's a consequence. But they just don't do it. Anything and everything that happens is somebody else's fault and somebody else's responsibility. It's never their own. They have no ability to self-reflect on anything that they do, say, or play out in front of the American people. Nothing, literally nothing. It's always somebody else's fault. Hillary Clinton loses in 2016. It's Russia's fault. It's not the fact that Hillary Clinton is one of the most unlikable characters that you can imagine. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do that they promised her that position after snubbing her in 2008 for Barack Obama. It's got nothing to do with that. So they run out Hillary Clinton, who's an incredibly unlikable character. She loses to Trump, and it's not that Hillary Clinton's a terrible person and a terrible presidential candidate. It's that Vladimir Putin and Russia helped Trump to get elected. Trump won because of Russia, right? That was the entire first term of the Trump administration. Illegitimate president, elected by, was it $20,000 worth of Facebook ads, won the election for Donald Trump? Sure. All of that, but very accurate and very true. Because the left cannot accept responsibilities. Plain and simple. So that's what's going on with John Bolton. He's not been arrested. He did return to his house later in the day on Friday. From sources inside the FBI talking to the New York Post, they believe that this is a pretty clean cut case. We'll wait and see what happens. We'll keep an eye on those details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Before we continue this morning, I do want to let you know about the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you trust the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a variety of issues, maybe a divorce, a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong criminal defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're local, located in downtown Wilmington, just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll grab a quick break. A lot of other stuff going on. We'll roll into that as the Nick Craig Show continues on a Monday morning, 7 a.m., streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Nice weather across southeastern North Carolina as we continue this morning. Well, wow, surprise, surprise. There is more outrage over the fact that President Donald Trump has, of course, had great success with his efforts to deploy the National Guard into the District of Columbia. Like many other states and like many other cities, has fallen into complete and total disrepair, has turned into a lawless zone where individuals can commit crimes freely, can shoot up heroin on public streets, can camp in federally owned parks with tents, garbage litter everywhere. Just a bastion of a liberal bastion hellhole that has been created. No surprise there at all. It's been very successful. And as of last night, I don't know that we've got any new details this morning, there has not been a single murder in D.C. in 9 days. That is very abnormal. But since the National Guard is there, since crews, including the District of Columbia Police Department, have gotten new leadership under Pam Bondi and the executive action from President Donald Trump, things have cleaned up. There are now the threat of consequences for your actions. Wow, it's not like we've been talking about that at all this morning. Lo and behold, when criminals risk and feel that there is a risk for being held responsible for the things that they do, they don't do them. Wow, amazing, wild, can't imagine. So on Friday, President Donald Trump said that Chicago will likely be the next target of his efforts to crack down on crime, homelessness and illegal immigration. Trump indicated that Chicago could receive similar treatment to what he's done in Washington, D.C., where he's deployed some 2,000 troops on the streets. Trump told reporters at the White House, "I think Chicago will be next," noting that then we'll help with New York. The comments came as the Pentagon on Friday began ordering troops in Washington to carry firearms, though there have been no overt indications that they have faced threats that would require them to carry a weapon. Well, I mean, they're acting as law enforcement, so giving them the ability to use a weapon makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. I don't know that a National Guard member needs to be threatened or punched out or beaten to smithereens for them to start carrying guns. However, that is, of course, the framing here from the Associated Press. Trump has repeatedly described some of the nation's largest city run by Democrats as dangerous and filthy. He singled out Chicago on Friday, calling it a mess and saying that residents there are screaming for us to come despite significant decreases in crimes of violence. Do you notice how the left continues to go back to this? And it's all because of the lawlessness that existed in 2020 and 2021, when you were told that if you left your house, you were going to be shot by the police because COVID-19 was flying in the air and was just going to kill you. So you were told that you can't leave your home, you can't shop, your business can't be opened. But if you were protesting for George Floyd, if you're a member of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, you were allowed to go out in the streets and firebomb buildings. You were allowed to go out in the streets and hurl bricks and rocks and frozen water bottles and shoot mortars and fireworks at law enforcement. All of that was fine and dandy. All of that was good and needed. But you, as a law-abiding citizen, a law-abiding resident of the United States, you're not allowed to leave your house. But if you're a 20-something-year-old Antifa member, you're allowed to go deface property. You're allowed to throw a brick through a subway and ransack the store, which is, you know, just an example of what happened in, downtown Raleigh, our state's capital. That's right and just. There's no risk of getting COVID when you're looting and ransacking stores in downtown Raleigh or throwing rocks at members of law enforcement. There's no risk of COVID there. But if you want to send your kid to school, you can't do that. If you are a bar or restaurant owner, you're going to just have to stay closed. It's a public health emergency after all, right? So there was so much crime during 2020 and 2021 that, yes, in fact, those crime numbers have come down from the complete and total absurdity that was existing during that time. So the left continues to go back to this as a tool for their, I guess, justification that this shouldn't happen. They continue to go back to, well, crime is coming down as a justification as things really aren't that bad. And so there's a great website called heyjackass.com. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this website. Great name, I'll note. So if you go to heyjackass.com, this is a website that illustrates Chicago's crime. So year to date, it is August 25th, 2025. We're a little over 8.5 months through the year. There have been 229 people shot and killed in Chicago. More than 1,000 shot and wounded. 1,285 people shot and a total of 275 homicides within the city. So those are the crime stats year to date in 2025. We're a little over halfway through the year, and you've already got 275 people killed. But see, if you look at their charts, and if you are to believe what is said by the Democrats, this is what they use as their justification that crime is going down. It soared, skyrocketed, peaked in 2020 and 2021 in a city like Chicago. 507 homicides in 2020. 555 in 2021, and it has gone down since then, sure. But you're still looking at more than 400, in last year, 409 people shot and killed in the city of Chicago. I'm no mathematician, but there's only 365 days in the year. So on average, you have more than one person being shot and killed a day in the city of Chicago. But I'm supposed to believe that those numbers are going down. 2022, 2023, and 2024, all of the crime is higher those years than it was in 2018 and 2019, as well as in 2015. So this chart, or this notion, this concept from those on the left that crime is somehow decreasing rapidly is absurd. And it's not based in any sort of fact or reality at all, unless, of course, you're only looking at crime stats for the last 5 years. So this is what's going on in the city of Chicago. Some of the other very disappointing stats. Every 4 hours and 24 minutes, on average, a person is shot. Every 4 hours. And every 20 hours, somebody is being murdered. Whether they're being shot and killed or stabbed or whatever. Somebody's being murdered every 20 hours. I might argue that that is not a good situation. I will contend to you this morning that people getting shot every 4 hours is not something that is sustainable. Just in the month of August, we're not even fully through the month, you've had 180 people shot and 26 people killed. More than one a day. And I'm told, and you're told, that President Donald Trump trying to, or at least threatening to send in federal law enforcement to Chicago is unjust? That there's no evidence to back the situation up? You know, it's so funny and ironic because those on the left love talking about gun violence, right? When there's a horrific situation that unfolds at a school. They love talking about how we need to get guns off the streets. That we need to disarm the American populace. Yet they don't have a damn word to say when you look at the crime stats out of the city of Chicago. They don't have a damn word to say when you look at the crime stats out of Philadelphia or Baltimore or New York City. Nothing. Not a mum. But when some deranged psychopath goes into a school and kills people, then it's all about guns. But no discussion on every 4 hours and 24 minutes, somebody being shot in Chicago? Nothing to say about that? Most of these guns illegal? Most of these guns not legally registered by gangbangers and other violent criminals? Nothing. And so President Donald Trump is doing, well, exactly what he campaigned on. Cleaning up the cities of the United States. And so Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson said that his office has not received a formal communication from the Trump administration about military or federal law enforcement deployments in Chicago, but said, quote, "We have grave concerns about the impact of any unlawful deployment of the National Guard." Johnson called Trump's approach uncoordinated, uncalled for, and unsound, arguing that it, quote, has the potential to inflame tensions between residents and law enforcement. Interesting. Uncalled for and unsound. So with those comments, I presume, and I don't think I'm stepping too far out here, I presume that the Chicago mayor and Brandon Johnson is satisfied with somebody getting shot every 4 hours in the city of Chicago. Because if it's uncalled for, then you must be of the mindset and be of the opinion that that is something that is acceptable and it is an okay number for him. And maybe, in fact, he is okay with that. The president is not. And I would argue the vast majority of the American people, if faced with the actual statistics out of the city of Chicago, would argue the exact same thing. That that is not a sustainable situation. That having people shot and killed every 20 hours is not something that is a point of privilege, is not something that is a feather to put in your cap. It's not a good situation no matter how you dice it up or look at it. I mean, it's completely absurd. But as you would expect, Democrat cities like Chicago, where they are soft on crime, where law enforcement does not have the authority or in some cases the resources to enforce the law. You have left-wing prosecutors, left-wing district attorneys that allow these criminals to continually get slapped on the wrist, continually released from jail, go back out on the streets and do whatever you want. It's a disgrace. And as I had cable news on in the office this morning, and that was one of the main things that CNN and MSNBC were talking about. Al Sharpton was on Morning Joe earlier today talking about what's going on in Chicago and how President Donald Trump is a racist for talking about the crime that's going on there, a racist for making these points and making these assertions that crime is out of control. That Donald, it's once again, Donald Trump's fault. It's not the fault of the Chicago mayor. It's not the fault of the Chicago City Council. It's not the fault of the left-wing prosecutors. It's not the fault of the left-wing district attorneys. It's not the fault of the violent criminals. It is the fault of Donald Trump. You assume after a period of time that this would get old. You would assume that this constant notion that everything and anything that goes on is the fault of the president would eventually go away. But it's not. They continue to roll this out. They continue to play the same card over and over again. And it's not working. Because we have seen in D.C. over the last 2 weeks that when you've got federal law enforcement that is willing to enforce the law, the crime goes down. That's why there has not been a murder in D.C. in 9 days. I couldn't tell you the last time that there was a span in D.C. where somebody wasn't murdered in a nine-day period of time. Because there are more than a murder a day in the District of Columbia, similar to the situation in Chicago. But 9 days of federal law enforcement being on the streets, lo and behold, the problem is solving itself. Some commentary coming in on our live chat this morning over on Rumble. The Chicago mayor is inept. The city has been plagued with terrible mayors with Lori Lightfoot, then Johnson. Yeah, I mean, Lori Lightfoot was a disaster. And unfortunately for Brandon Johnson, who I think was previously a member of law enforcement, not much better. Again, unfortunately. Some other commentary coming in, undertones of a cleanup on the campaign trail when Trump was a garbage man for a day. No one else has tried or cared to clean up filthy D.C. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Our nation's capital. And many of these other great American cities, like Chicago, where the World's Fair took place every single year for decades, showing off unbelievable inventions through the early 1900s at the Chicago World's Fair. Amazing cities. Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York City. I mean, phenomenal cities that bring so much to our nation have fallen into complete and total disrepair at the hands of Democrats. President Donald Trump says, I'm not standing for it anymore. If you're unwilling to enforce the laws in your city, we're going to send in the National Guard, not to round up people and throw them in prison, but to show that there's a strong presence of law enforcement. To show that there are going to be consequences for your actions if you want to act in this manner. I don't have an issue with it. And I don't know why people that live in these cities like D.C. are so beside themselves. I mean, do these crime stats, are you okay with this? You're all right with over 1,000 carjackings a year? You're okay with people wandering around the streets of the city in which you live, you pay taxes, you raise your family, you work, you play? You're okay with people walking around with heroin needles sticking out of their arms? You're okay with people urinating and defecating in the streets? Homeless encampments all throughout the city, litter and garbage and trash everywhere? That's justifiable to you? I mean, it's absurd. And the reason that they're against it, it's not because they're in favor of dangerous cities, but they are unwilling to give President Donald Trump credit for anything. And they don't want to see him doing anything that could be viewed as even relatively successful, like what has gone on in D.C. And if Trump moves forward with it, what will likely go on? I don't know, but I can predict what will likely go on in the city of Chicago. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the week and keep you abreast of all those details right here on the Nick Craig Show. I want to let you know, for those that are members of the Nick Craig Show Patreon, you should have gotten an email Sunday from Patreon with the link and with the details to our monthly hangout. That is going to be happening a Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on Zoom. We'll be chatting about whatever the news of the week is, a little unclear as to what exactly those big national stories or local stories are going to be. But we'll be chatting about that 7 p.m. Wednesday night as part of our Patreon monthly hangout. You can get access to that as well as daily show notes and more by heading on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, supporting the show just a couple of bucks a month, $5, $10 a month, if you believe that you are getting some value to the show. From the show, you can do that at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Appreciate everybody's continued support. And as always, I look forward to chatting with you on Wednesday night. Thanks again to The Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We've got a major update on some homeless problems in the city of Wilmington. We'll dive into those details coming up tomorrow morning on The Nick Craig Show, 7 a.m. live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.